So, this week is Pashas Miketz. By Miketz Shnisayim Yomim. It was the end of 2 years. Yosef had been in the pit, in the boir. Parei cholem, parei dreams. V'nei oimed alei oir. He's standing by the river. So first he has a dream about seven cows. One, seven sets of good cows, and then come seven evil-looking thin cows, and they swallow the good cows. Veloinoida, and you couldn't tell by looking at them that they had ever swallowed anything. They were still as undernourished, as thin as they had been previously. Then he wakes up, he goes back to sleep, and he dreams again that there are seven stalks of wheat growing fat and healthy, and then seven shtufis kodim, thin, wind-bitten stalks come up and they swallow. There it doesn't say that, v'loinoida. The Gemara says, in Tanis, that there was, in the time of Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman, there was a famine and there was also a magefa, there was a plague, and they didn't know how to daven. Should they daven? They didn't have the koyach to daven for both. They felt they didn't have the koyach. So which should they daven for, the plague to stop? And then they'll die of hunger. Should they pray for food? What's the worst use of food if everybody's dying of the plague? So Reb Shmuel ben Nachman said, pray for satisfaction, pray for food. Because if the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us soiva, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us satisfaction, Mamela is going to give us life. He's not going to give us satisfaction in amid disease. So in Ishbitz, the Torah, we've learned many times over the years that porois, the cows are meramzim, they are hinting at life, chaim, the life force. And we were learning in Parshas Chukas, poraduma, the idea of the perfect life force, the vigor that is never diminished. And the lechem, the wheat, is more on the parnosa. So Pari says to Yosef, after Pari wakes up and he has a dream and nobody can interpret it for him, and the Saramashkim, the butler, comes and he says, Pari, your majesty, I sinned and I was in prison, Shamna Ivri, there was a Jewish boy, and he interpreted the dreams for us. Vayirutzu, this Yosef min haboy, they hurried to bring Yosef from the boy, and he insisted, Vaygalchu, and he washed himself, he bathed, and he had a haircut. He stood in front of Pari. Pari says to him, Ani shamati olecho lemoir, I heard about you saying, Tishma chaloim liftoir oisoi. You listen to a dream to interpret it. Pari had hundreds of interpreters. Everybody in the palace had tried to interpret the dream. The reason they couldn't interpret the dream is because Yosef was in the boat. That's the deepest Torah. See, when Yosef is in gulas, when Yosef is exiled, when Yosef is in prison, nobody has clarity. Nobody has clarity. Even Yaakov Avinu doesn't have clarity, because Yosef is Midas Yisod. And you know, we were saying last week, Midas Yisod doesn't mean that Yosef was able to really have the lock on his sexuality. That's not the meaning of Yisod. Midas Yisod is the light that shines on all the other Midos. See, we don't know who we are until Yosef is free. Reuven, his koyach is to see things. Shimon, his koyach is to hear things. Yehuda, his koyach is to enjoy things. Yisachar, his koyach is to understand things. But we don't know if we're doing the right thing, if we're seeing the right thing, if we're listening to the right thing. We don't know if our simcha is a simcha, shel mitzvah is a simcha of hoilelis. We don't know. Because we're still caught up in the Ge'ora, Hamin Ho'etz. God shouts at Adam Arishain, and since then, we don't know. Did we? Did we eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? I mean, that question that God asks us, Hamin Ho'etz Asher Tzivisichu Lebilti Achoy Mimena Achalta, have you eaten from that tree of knowledge that I told you not to eat from? We don't know. I mean, that sets up this existential dread at the heart of every thinking person. And it can only be dispelled with the koyach of Yosef at Tzaddik. When Yosef is free to do what he does, then the whole world experiences itself in a new way. Yosef opens us up to be able to see everybody their own genius, you know, because every person has their genius. Every person is a facet of the Vayipach Ba'apa of Nishmas Chaim that God breathes into us. And the Zohar Kodesh says, you can only breathe into somebody what you have inside yourself. So Rabbi Shem breathes into us the Nishmas Chaim. It means something divine. And he doesn't breathe into you what he breathes into me. So I have something divine, but I can't know if I'm expressing it or not unless Yosef is there to shine his light. So Paro says to Yosef, I heard about you, Tishma Chaloim Liftoi Roisri. The Ishbitzer says that the word Chaloim and the word Lechem are the same. Shloime used to say, famous tape of Shloime in Germany, call it the Ishbitzer concert. He talked about the idea of these three letters, Lamed Ches Mem, and how holy they are. But you know, bread and dreaming are connected. The Pasuk says, Shir Amalois B'shuv Hashem Es Shivas Tzion Ayinik Uchomim. In the future, when God returns the return of Zion, Hayinik Uchomim, we will have been like dreamers. You know, the beauty of Pshischa is that whenever you think you know the Pshat in a Pusik, then you hear the Torah from Rabbi Rabinim and it's like, oh, it's just the opposite. When Mashiach comes and we'll wake up, it doesn't mean Hayinu Kachoymen will realize, life had just been a dream. No. We will realize when Mashiach comes that even in the darkness when we were asleep, we were dreaming dreams. And the dreaming of dreams is the 60th of prophecy. So in fact, in Ishbitz, the dream is not a sign of that we were sleeping and therefore we were cut off from the source. Fakert, just the opposite. The fact that we're dreaming means that we are connected at the source, that we're all prophets. So Hayinu Kachoymen, we will realize that our life has been a dream. And what does that mean? That our life in this world, in this exile that we're in contains Mein Olam Habo. It's telling us something about the future. And just as Paro's dream, in a few minutes, he dreams 14 years, because that's the way that dreams are, that time can be telescoped, so we will realize that our life in this exile is a dream, and that it can be explained and telescoped outwards to contain a million years of the future. The thing is that life has to be interpreted just like a dream. And the Ishbitz says in the Meir Shiloyach in Parshas Miketz, Ki kol inyone oylem azehim kecholem hatzorech pitoroin. Everything that happens in this world is like a dream that needs some kind of an interpretation. And the way you interpret the dream, that is the nature of your reality. So now, so everybody who receives a piece of bread, the Bais Yaakov says, everybody who receives a piece of bread, when you eat a piece of bread, where's the koyach coming from? You know, it's mechaya. V'lechem yisad levav enosh, that the satisfaction in eating the bread, that it hits the spot in a way that other foods don't. So a nutritionist can tell me why it is when I eat the bread, there's a special satisfaction in Machaya. But my body can't tell me. My body just says, oh, it's geschmack. And my body can experience the sensation of satisfaction. But my body can't tell me how my blood is carrying those carbohydrates or whatever it is to those receptors in which cells that use those to generate heat or whatever it is. My body doesn't tell me that. I have to be like some kind of a food scientist, a chemist, a physicist to understand the mechanics of how bread makes me feel satisfied. But if when I was eating it, my body were to explain it to me, then I wouldn't be eating the bread, I would be eating because a person doesn't really live by the bread. There's something in the way that God created the world that means that these grass seeds that have been, you know, ground up and mixed with water and salt and oil and baked in the oven, there's the whole process. If I could understand what it is about it that makes me feel satisfied, then I would be get in touch with the Moitzi Pi Hashem, the Word of God, which is really what the wheat and ultimately the bread is made from. So the lechem, the bread, needs a pitaron. It requires some kind of an interpretation. So Yosef's ability to interpret dreams is no different from his ability to interpret bread. So Shir HaMaalos B'Shuv Hashem Es Shiv Asino Yinu K'Cholmim, we will have been like dreamers, means that there's somebody who can come along and explain to me that even when I was asleep, I was still Mekusha, that even my body was eating bread, it was still being sustained from the Moitzi Pi Hashem. And even though it's hard for me to grasp how my food is really the Word of God, but there is someone who can show it me. And who is that person? That person is Yosef HaTzadik. You see, there's something different about the Maaser from the Kavona. I can have a kavona, unbelievable kavona. When I want to put on a pair of tefillin, I can think about, you know, all the deepest meaning in Hanochas tefillin. Or if I, you know, I want to hear the shofar, you know, I can spend like 6 hours being mechavim. But you know something? I'm not allowed to make a brocha on the kavona. I'm not allowed, right? It doesn't matter how big my kavonas are. I'm not allowed to make a brocha. I'm not allowed to say Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you God who commanded me to be mechavim, to have intention. And you know what? It doesn't matter how little kavona I have in the actual deed of the mitzvah. It doesn't matter if I have no kavona at all. I can still make a bracha, right? So, if I, even while I'm thinking of breakfast, I put on my tefillin, I can say bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kidshonu B'Mitzvos V'Tzvonu Laniach Tefillin. How is that? Because in the act, in the mitzvah, there's an amkus, there's a depth that is so profound that even when I do it when I'm asleep, right? So I'm doing a mitzvah and I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of food. I'm thinking of chayzgunsh. Well, my head is completely in another place. I'm like sleeping, yeah? But at some level, I'm a cholem, I'm a dreamer. And I'm still connected. So there's things that are happening when I do a mitzvah that I'm not aware of. And they're so profound that I can say the words Baruch Ato Hashem, blessed are you, God, as though I'm right there talking to God. Please press *6. So, thank you. Pari realizes that the reason that nobody can interpret the dream is because there's something missing in the whole world. You know, here we are in Hanukkah. There's a Tikkuni Zohar, Tikkun Chof Aleph, I think. It says that the Torah is the oil, and Yiddish Kinder, the Bnei Yisrael, are the petila, are the wick. Vishrago, and the light, the flame, is the Shekhinah. What does it mean, right, when you think about it? That we the Jewish people, we carry, so you can't just light the oil. If I have a bowl of oil, I can't just light it. I need a wick that draws the oil in such a way, in such a steady way, that when I put a flame to it, it burns. So the Torah is being drawn through us, and the light, the passion that we have in us, in the learning, the Torah, this is the Shekhinah, yeah? You know, we say L'shem Yichud, Kiddush Brichu Ushechinte. So the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that aspect of God which is holy, which is separate, we want to connect, we want to be mamshech, we want to draw it into the world of where we live. So when we think about the Shekhinah, it's not something separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We aren't two Rishuyas. It's not like a male and female aspect of God. Sometimes it's useful to have those metaphors, but mostly it's really not. We get too caught up in the, and then we end up with a duality. But there's that. There's the Torah, there's the mitzvahs. If I were to think to myself, you know, when I'm putting on my talis, that really I'm putting on God. there's an aspect, there's a way. We said many times over the years that the ishbitz, the deepest ishbitz of Torah, is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is invisible. If you have an invisible man, a visible person, the only way that you could get an idea of what that person looks like, whether they're tall, what shape their face has, is by putting clothes, by putting very tight clothes onto that person, because the person himself is completely invisible. So the Ishbitz says that the Torah mitzvahs are like the clothing of the divine. So the tighter my mitzvah is, the more idea I have of the shape of the divine inside. So Ribbono Shel Olam's shape, so to speak, is the mitzvahs that, and so when I put on the talis, see, when I have the kavona to put on the talis, it doesn't matter how gross a kavonas I have, but it's not it. If I actually put on that, if I actually light the candles for Shabbos, right? If I actually, you know, make a brocha, then I'm mislabesh, I'm clothing myself in God, in the divine, which is clothed in the mitzvah itself, in such a way that even when I'm not really machav in the kavanah, I'm not even really thinking what I'm doing, my mind is miles away, still, hayinu kecholmim, we were like dreamers, means that even when we were asleep, we had this hiskashus, this connection. So there's an aspect of Yosef inside each of us. And that aspect of Yosef does something. It shines the light. So if we have, you've got the wick. The wick is like the Jewish people draw the oraisa through the shemen, the mishcha, through the wick, to that point of where it burns. But you know something? It's possible to burn things without light. It's possible to burn things with all colors of light. It's possible to burn things so that, you know, the wick keeps on blowing, you know, like we have in Shabbos, all the different kinds of wicks that are posel. Psilas Hamidbar, you can't use a wick that splutters, and so it has to be a certain kind of wick. This is the aspect of Yosef HaTzadik. The kind of light that we can shine on ourselves is that aspect of the Yosef which is in us. The Arizal says that one of the kavonos of Lahadlik Ne'er Chanukah. Lahadlik Ne'er Chanukah is Lamed Nun Ches. And this word, Lahadlik Ne'er Chanukah, means Nachal. It's a river. The river is the Hamshocha of Shefa that flows from God to us, and also it flows from us to God. From God to us, it flows Noitze Chesed La'alofim, that God keeps on the idea of Chesed to 1,000 generations. Noitze Chesed La'alofim is Oisius Nachal. And then we, our river that flows upwards to God, is Nafshenu Chikso La'ashem, our soul longs for God. So we have our longing flows upwards, and the Baal Shem's longing flows down. The Ari says that these two, each longing is the menorah, because we light 44 candles, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, with each time we light a candle, the Ribbono Shel Olam lights a candle. So it's together is 88, and that's the kavona of Lahadlik Ne'er Chanukah, Lamed Nun Ches is 88. There's something about, I don't know, sometimes it's hard to put into words what it means to have the light shining through. Because Shlomi used to say, it says, Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami, God says, you know, comfort my people. Dabru alev Yerushalayim, kiru eleho, speak to the heart of Yerushalayim and then call out to her. He said, if you're speaking, then why do you need to call out? So Shlomi said, because if Mashiach Tzidkenu should walk through the door now, half of us will jump out through the window. There's an aspect of us that is so afraid of shining our light into who we are that we need the koyach that comes from above. Nafshenu chikso l'Hashem, so our soul is reaching out to God and saying, please show me how to shine the light. And the Rebbeinu Shlom says, I've been waiting 1,000 generations to shine the light. When are you going to let me shine the light? So what do we do? So the secret is here in the Sedra. Ketzam l'choshech. There was so much time that Yosef needed to be in the bor. When it came the right time, then he was out. And the first 10 years were not really hard for him, because for the first 10 years he was meditating on the pain that he caused his brothers. The second, after he'd told the Sarah Mashkin, please go and remember me to Paroi, and he was there in the prison for another 2 years, that was mamish hell. And he came so close to giving up. It was Rosh Hashanah. It was the third Rosh Hashanah. And he mamish thought, oh, 3 Rosh Hashanahs, 3 years, that's already, I'll be forgotten. Because he was sure that the dreams that he'd been told by the Sarah Mashkim Sarayvim, these were dreams of remembering. They were all about being remembered. So he said, remember me to Paroi, v'his kartani, and mention me. You know, Yosef almost gave up. There was only one person in the whole world who didn't give up. That was Yaakov Avinu. He never gave up. And he always felt inside that there was Yesh Sheva B'Mitzrayim, that this Yosef, he's gone, he's this, he's that, Ach Torev Torev Yosef, he's torn. He never said Yosef Meis. And that's why he refused to take comfort. So in the front of everything, in the front of the wick, you know, Yosef is showing us how to burn. On the other end of the wick is Yaakov Avinu showing us how to be mamshech, how to continue, even when everything looks completely bleak, everything looks completely broken. In this week's Seder, we have this going down deeper and deeper into this feeling of brokenness that we had, where Yehuda says that Kim Motzavoin Avodecho, you know, we've ruined everything, we don't know how to fix. And then, as the Ishbitzer says in Pashas Chukas and Pashas Vayigash, there's an aspect of dreaming that we get shown when we wake up, that not only were we never, you know, the nightmare wasn't real nightmare, and we were never, but that even the pain that we had in our nightmare, even the scare that we were scared when we were asleep, even that wasn't real. So deep, so profound is the idea, the level of our illusion. That when we woke up after the story of Yosef and Yosef revealed himself, it's like we were so clear to us that we'd never been in trouble. It's between Yaakov on one end of the pesila, on one end of the wick, who's showing us to be mamshech, to continue. Don't worry about the end results. Just do what you have to do. And on the other end, we have Yosef, who shines such a careful light unto everything that you do, to show us that really we are dreamers, in the really the deepest place, we were always connected to Ribbono Shel Olam, even when we were asleep. And that what is flowing through us, you know, we think that the only way you can learn Torah is you have to go to yeshiva, you know, you have to sign up for a weekend retreat, the OU, you have to go to Chvais, Yerushalayim. But that's not how it is. The whole, why were the Chashmenoim considered kings? Really, they were Kohanim. They were high priests. And yet it's called, their rule is called Malchus. Really, Malchus belongs to Yehuda. But what they were able to bring down for us is that everybody, every Jew, can be a high priest. All you have to do is light the menorah. That ability to raise everybody to the level of a Kohen Gadol, that itself is Malchus. That you can be a Kohen Gadol in your own home. Through the 8 days of Chanukah, you can light the menorah, which only the Kohen Gadol was able to do. It's Gevalt. That ability we all have inside us. You don't have to go to Yerushalayim, you know, and be anointed as a high priest in order to light a menorah on Chanukah. We can all do it. We all have it inside us. No, the thing is, you know, to be able to see that the Torah that's flowing through me, you know, to be able to realize what it is, I need to be shown. So the Torah itself that's inside me, I don't need to learn from anywhere else. But I need to be shown how to light it up. So I need, on one side of me, I need Yaakov Avinu, who keeps pushing. And on the other side, in a sense, I have Yosef, who keeps pulling. And as the Torah moves through me, it's available there for the Shekhinah, for the Shraga, for the light, which comes out. So, when we talk about the three that are one, that God and the Yidden and the Torah are one, if you look at Ner Chanukah, you see how it is. Because we are the wick, the Torah is the oil, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the flame. Shane, I bless you and me. We should have a Gevalt Chanukah, and we should light up the whole world.